Good morning. I'm glad to be here teaching, preaching this morning with you all. Special day, really. For all of us, we all say, well, we wouldn't be here without our mothers, right? Of course, this is where we're all coming from. I really would not be here, standing up here on this podium, behind this podium, to the side of this podium, if it weren't for my mother. My mom, when I was in second grade, came and gave me a scrapbook, and she asked me a question. Joel, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a pastor. Then she came back in third grade and asked me, and I said, I want to be a baseball player. Sometimes that's how it goes, right? But my mom never gave up on me. She was always the one sending me notes, writing little scripture encouragements to me in books, sliding them in, and sending me notes on days, Pastor Appreciation Day. I would not be here if it weren't for my mom, who never gave up on me. And I know that moms, whether you've gone through those really hard years of life or whether you're in them now or whether you there's a place in your heart where you say, gosh, I want to pour out and I haven't been able to. Know that whether you are in the thick of it, whether you're through it, whether you're investing as a foster parent, whether you're just investing in students who need you, know that you're living out the Great Commission. You're living out the call to make disciples, to love people around you, to love these little ones through all stages of life. And so that is such a high, high calling. And I want you to know that you are chosen, you are loved, and you are appreciated this day because so many of you never give up on those little ones. So thank you for that. So we celebrate you this morning on this Mother's Day. And, we are God's disciples. We are his chosen ones who he's called to walk with him and to hear him and follow him. And that's what we've been doing all through the Gospel of Mark. And so we've come now to chapter 7, and I'm going to invite you to stand, and we will hear God's word today. Jesus is back in Gentile territory. Those people who weren't part of the religious folk, weren't the ones who knew the message, but Jesus is going to them with the message. Now hear this, it says this in verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee. In the region of the Decapolis, they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And he took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I love many things about pastoring here. I love many things about my job, but one of those things I really love is getting to work with our youth. And our youth have been faithfully led by Nelson Steinert in this transition, one of our Fraser Fellows, and also Dean Choi now. And one of the things our youth do when they come to the scriptures is they ask two very simple questions. Number one, what does this passage tell us about Jesus? What does this passage show us about who God is? Number two, what does this passage tell us about us as humans? What does this tell us about our humanity? So today I just really want to look at this scripture in those very simple ways. Number one, what does this passage show us about who God is? And number two, what does this passage show us about us and who we are as his disciples? Very simple. Number one, here's what I think this passage shows us about who God is. It shows us that God is one who goes to great lengths to fulfill his mission in the world. Everything that we've heard in the Gospel of Mark so far has been under this mission statement of Jesus, this kind of banner over his whole ministry. When he showed up, he said, "This is what I'm about. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what you can expect." And this is what he said in chapter 1. He said this: "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That was Jesus' mission statement. Everything he's been doing and teaching has been part of that mission statement in word, in deed. And this is very interesting. Jesus has this kind of interesting route that he's taking to go and talk to this man who is speech impaired and hearing impaired. Jesus is supposed to go south. But what he does is he first goes north, and then he goes east, and then he goes south. It's almost as if Jesus was needing to go to San Diego, and he went to San Francisco first, then he went to Bakersfield, and then he went to San Diego. Why is Jesus doing that? Why is he making this roundabout way to get to this one man in the Decapolis, these 10 cities? Some say that, you know, Jesus was knowing that Jerusalem, it was going to get really intense. It was going to get hot for all Jesus and his disciples when they went to Jerusalem. And so Jesus wanted some more time with his disciples, kind of like, let's take a long road trip and let's get prepared. Let's talk about this. But you know, I think as Jesus was going through all this territory, you might even say he was probably on a mission trip. Maybe even some things here that we don't even have in our scriptures, but Jesus was going north to San Francisco, east to Bakersfield, south to San Diego, because he was on mission. He wanted to reach people with his good news. He wanted to reach people with his good news. This is what I think it first tells us about Jesus, that the God we love and serve is passionate about his gospel. He's passionate about the good news. He's passionate about his message that he has. That's what I see here in this scripture. And closely related to that is that when Jesus comes to this man, he comes to these 10 cities. He's been in Gentile territory before. This is kind of his second mission trip there. You remember the first time he came and he healed a man who was demon-possessed. They basically just kicked him out of there. "Jesus, get out of here. We don't know what kind of power you have." You wonder if this man, since Jesus has come back, if this man had been spreading the news and preaching what happened to him, talking about, you know, this Jesus, he changed my life. He impacted me. And as Jesus comes back, there's all these people clamoring for his attention, who are begging him. They bring this man, please touch him. And this is the second thing I think that this story tells us about who God is, that God in Jesus Christ is one of compassion. He's one who empathizes with individuals. He's one who sees individuals like you and me, and he comes with compassion to touch our lives and to touch the lives of those who don't know him yet. You see Jesus doing this all throughout Mark. You see how important just personal touch is. I know that's not really part of what we can do right now a lot, but you understand that Jesus, when he would show up with people, he wasn't just seeing a big problem that needed to be fixed. He wasn't just seeing all the systems, which are important, but he was seeing the individual people, faces, right? So when there was a man named Jairus who came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, my daughter is sick," Jesus was going on the way to Jairus' house, and this woman comes up and grabs his cloak, and she's healed. And then Jesus goes to Jairus' house, and he goes into that room really privately with her. He says, "Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up." You see that just how personal and compassionate Jesus is with that touch of his. And you know, it reminds me that, you know, there's a lot we can see in our city of Los Angeles. And you've probably noticed driving to church how different things are even around the church, under the overpass, around Carlos, around Gower. And it's really easy, I think, for us to see, oh, this is such a problem. It's a problem that people are experiencing homelessness. Our friends are experiencing homelessness. And we can only see the problem of it. But I think in Jesus Christ, when he shows up, he lets us see the individual people. He lets us see the faces and know the names. And he lets us see this is not just a systemic problem, though it is. There's individuals that need my touch, that need my care and compassion. And this is really what I love about our spring refuge, you know, that we're doing right now up in the upper terrace. There's just a handful of friends there, but this is what it's all about. It's about our team that has gone out and into the city and invited individual people to come in and find refuge and find rest, individual people with names. And I love this about Jesus. This is personally for me one of the most attractive things about Jesus, is that when he looks at all of it, he not only sees the systems, but he sees people who need compassion. And this is so interesting what he does here with this man. And this really shows me this, the tenderness, the compassion of Jesus. A pastor I really admire up in Monterey, Nate Holdridge, he talks about this and he says, you know, it's almost as if Jesus here, he's got this creative way of healing. This isn't always how Jesus does this, right? He doesn't always use these exaggerated movements, but it's almost as if Jesus is kind of speaking a universal sign language here in the moment. Think about it. This man can't hear Jesus. He can't speak. He can't communicate. So Jesus is almost exaggerating things, and he's saying, look, I'm going to take you away from the crowd, and I'm going to do something with your ears. I'm going to touch your ears. And then he spits in the ground. That's kind of like, oh, what's Jesus doing there? Actually, this was thought of to be a curative in that day. There was some thought that maybe spitting and healing was curative. So Jesus spits, and he says, I'm going to do something with your speaking. And then he kind of almost says this word that you can mouth, Ephphatha. Everybody say that through your mask, Ephphatha. It's a lot to say, right? But you can almost see what that means. Be open. The man could see, oh, Jesus is doing something. Jesus is restoring me. Jesus is healing me. And so you see how tender Jesus was in this moment, that he took this man very tenderly, very compassionately, and said, I'm going to heal you right now. And so the lengths that Jesus goes to heal, the tenderness and compassion that he sees people, you know, this past week I heard this story. Maybe you read it, but it was an incredible story that took place in San Diego off the cliffs of Point Loma. There was a man walking there with his family, Cale Foy, and He was walking, enjoying his Sunday morning, and all of a sudden he looked out into the water and he saw a boat, a 40-foot trawler that had crashed upon the rocks. And he saw people spilling out of this boat. Sadly, none of them had life preservers. Sadly, this was a boat smuggling people across the border. All the sad things about that. But he was there with his family. And you know what is crazy? He was actually a rescue person in the naval air crewman who had been trained in water rescue, just happened to be walking along this trail. Another young man said, I want to help you join in with this. And he said, this is not going to be a controlled environment. This is going to be out of control. And I was in the ocean last week. I know what that was like, 5 to 6 foot waves crashing, and the riptide is pulling people out. And in a normal rescue operation, you'd be able to look up and see above, like in a helicopter, right? You'd be able to see all the people down there. But what they had to do is they had to rely on people who were pointing from the rocks and saying, you know, that person or that person needs your help. And so as they were swimming out there, they saw a woman who was about 75 yards away. And this man, I don't know how you do this. It's hard enough to swim in the ocean, but he swam and took this woman around the chest and with one arm, if you can imagine, swam and pulled her to safety. And, you know, it was a tragic day. There were three people who died, but there were 29 people who were rescued out of those waters. And this man and his friend who jumped into the water were able to rescue six people in that water. And it just strikes me that this is really the heart of God, that he goes to such great lengths for his mission. He goes to such great lengths to reach people who need it and with compassion, with not looking at just the big problem, but saying the individual who needs my help. This is what I believe the heart of God is, that he's doing this here in this passage. And you know, that's really interesting in this story. Another thing that kind of opens us up to Jesus is really just, he's just doing his mission. He's doing what he came for here. There's this word where it talks about this man's speech. He had an impediment in his speech. You know, this word only comes up one time in the New Testament. And the word is, I'm going to ask you to say it with me just so we, mogilalos. Everybody say mogilalos. We're learning some strange words here today. But this word for speech impediment only comes up one time in the New Testament. Do you know? It only comes up one other time in the Old Testament. Only one time. And so it's as if Mark is saying, Jesus is doing something here that is tied to the Old Testament. Now look at this. It happens in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. This is where that word comes up. And listen to the context. It says this. Israel, up until this point in Isaiah, it is a story of judgment, story of all these things. And then in 35, it kind of turns to the redemption. It turns to God's going to break in and do something new. He's going to touch lives. It says this, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. You see, this just tells about what Jesus is going to do. He's going to, not only on a very physical level, restore lives, not only actually physically be able to heal people of you know, speech impairment, of hearing impairment, of all the physical ailments that happen, but in also a spiritual way, that when Jesus comes, he's going to strengthen the knees. He's going to open people's ears to hear the good news of the gospel. He's going to open people's mouths to speak the good news. Speak the good news of the gospel. He's going to do this for us. He's going to do this for his church, to open our ears, to loosen our tongues, to speak forth the gospel in this place called Hollywood, in this place called Los Angeles. So you see that all of this is pointing us to this is who God is, a God who goes to great lengths to jump into the waters with us, goes to great lengths to show us compassion, goes to great lengths to open our ears, to open our mouths. And then it comes to this last verse, which I love so much. It's such a beautiful verse. It says this. It says, as the people saw what Jesus was doing, they were amazed, and they said, he does everything well. He does everything well. And it's as if, again, pointing back to Genesis, where when God created everything, the heavens and the earth, and he looked at it and he said it was very good. And so you see in Jesus that this is what he's doing, is he's restoring creation. He's bringing people back to health. He's bringing people back to be whole. And he's doing this to make us well, to make this world well, to restore all of creation. There's a book that some of us have been reading called Gentle and Lowly, and it references this German theologian, Jürgen Moltmann, who talks about miracles, and he talks about miracles. Oftentimes, we think of these as interruptions in the natural order, like, whoa, that just happened. Oh, my goodness. But he says miracles are actually a restoration of the natural order. It's what God had intended all along. See, when God made creation, he made it very good. And in Jesus, he's bringing all of that back together. He's redeeming, he's restoring our lives, he's restoring this world. And you know, I think as I prayed and thought about the scripture, and I think and I see that he's doing this in us as his church, in the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, that he is restoring us, that he is making us well. It's been a tough year. We've had a pandemic. We've had, hard things. Simply being the church in the year 2021, simply just being the church in a place like Los Angeles is so hard. But what we've gone through as a church, you know, God, I believe, God is making us well. And it will be his work. It will be his movement. It will be his restoration. It will be his healing that restores us, that heals us, that makes us well, so that we can hear that good news, we can speak that good news, and we can join with him in this city of making things well. Friends, I want to just say, don't give up on on this church. Don't give up on First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, because we can't forget the mission that Jesus has for this church. We can't forget the mission. We can't forget that you're here for a purpose, okay? You're sitting in this pew for a purpose. This church was placed here on the corner of Gower and Carlos for a purpose. And don't give up. Don't give up, because his gospel of good news is still going forth, and it's still going to go forth. And it's going to go forth through us. It's going to go forth through us, his church. Because he's making us well so that we can join with him in making all things well in this mission that he has. You know, it was really exciting for me on Thursday night. I came over to the Mears Center. It was a bit of a surprise, but the Hollywood Prayer Network, who's been here for probably 30 years or so, Karen Covell, many of you know her. She's been here 30 years faithfully praying over Hollywood, praying over the industry. And I showed up to lead the opening prayer, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe I'll duck in, duck out. And as I was there, I just thought, man, there's something really special going on here. There was around 86 people in person praying over Hollywood. Tim was there. There was 83 people on Zoom. It was a miracle that technology was working all together in that space, but Zoom and prayers. And 160 people, after and in the midst of a pandemic, praying over Hollywood, praying over, you know, God, just to work in their jobs that they're doing in the industry and are calling here. And it really refreshed me, and it really showed me, oh, we can't forget the mission that God has here in this city. We can't forget the purpose that God has for our church, and not just our church, but all the churches in Hollywood in this area. And you know, did I bring my bulletin? I did. Thankfully, I brought my bulletin up here. But you know, this is the mission statement that we have on the bulletin cover. And we've kind of just said for the next month, let's just look at our mission statement. And we can't forget this. So if you have it there, just pull it out and see, what have we said about us? What's our purpose? What's our identity? It says, we believe God is calling us to be a praying and worshiping community in the city, trusting in God's grace, centered on Jesus Christ, and equipped by the Holy Spirit. We desire to proclaim the good news with our words and lives. We want to be a blessing to this community and to the world. Friends, can't forget, this is the mission that God has us on. This is the mission that goes even greater than just this room here. Greater than just this room here. He's called us on purpose. And we see a lot about Jesus' heart here. He goes to great lengths. He goes to great lengths to show how much he loves. He goes to great lengths to show compassion. He goes to great lengths to restore creation. And this is really what it tells us about ourselves, that this is what Jesus is doing for us, but this is how we respond, that we join with Jesus in his work of what he's doing in this world. And this is the exciting, exciting news of being a follower of Jesus, that we get to follow him. We get to follow Jesus in what he's doing, because it's his work, it's not our own. But he desires that you and I join with him. This is what I see, some of the things taking place in this passage, that Jesus, he hasn't given up on his mission. He hasn't given up on us, his people. So let's pray together. Lord God, as we've heard your news today, Lord, open our ears. Open our ears that we might again, as your people, hear the good news of the gospel. Oh God, we need it. We need it like drinking water. We need to know of your grace, to know of your mercy. We need to know of your salvation, to know of your forgiveness, or to know of your mission. God, would you help us hear through the scriptures? Would you help us hear through one another? Would you help us hear through your Holy Spirit? Even now, God, by your Holy Spirit, would you, in the quietness before you, would you speak to us, God? Maybe there's a person, maybe there's a place in the city, maybe there's a place in your home where you see Jesus is on mission and he's inviting you into that. Would you just be still and hear him? Hear what he may say to you. God, we thank you that you've placed us in families and you've placed us in work environments and you've placed us around this city. So God, may we be your people who hear that message. And God, would you loosen our tongues to speak it forth in those places? God, where it's a simple word, it's a gentle word, a word of encouragement, would you help us follow you in that? And where it's a bold word, God, would you help us follow you there? Help us be these people. Thank you, God, for this is your work, that we don't have to strive, that we don't have to try harder, but God, we can receive. We can receive from you and what you're doing and allow you to live through us, through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time in your scripture. May it produce fruit in our lives, Lord Jesus. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. We're going to come to this time of confession today, and you know, a lot of times you wonder, why do we do this every week? Why do we constantly make a point of going into confession? And it's really this practice, it's really this exercise of constantly going back to Jesus and saying, we can't do this. We can't change ourselves. We need you, God, to change our hearts. And so this is what we do every week. We practice this so that every day we practice this. And let's say this together as we go before him. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength through Jesus Christ, your Son. Let's just go to the Lord now in a moment of personal confession to confess our sins where we have fallen short, where we have missed walking in step with Jesus. Gracious God, we thank you that you tell us that as far as the east is from the west, so far you remove our transgressions from us. And so we thank you that in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, not by any effort of ourselves, but only through your life, death, and resurrection, Jesus, are we forgiven and made new. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand for our last hymn, O 4,000 Tongues to Sing.